From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here comes Bricks and Mortar, and he rushes up on the outside of United, who digs in. These two down to the wire. Bricks and Mortar, he's built like a champion.
And Beau Recall in the center of the course. Mirth by 2.5. Beau Recall on the outside of Alesia's World, but they're only battling for second as Mirth makes every pole a winning one in the Rodeo Drive.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington Studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Vino Rosso has taken the lead, and it's a vintage performance by Vino Rosso in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Furlong left to run in the Oaks. It's Chauncey and the hometown favorite Late Night Powwow running her down. Chauncey and Late Night Powwow slug it out. Here's Late Night Powwow alongside of Chauncey. Noses up and down. Late Night Powwow wins it for West Virginia.
Now here's Mike Pena.
154 days, 5 hours, 48 minutes, and 54 seconds until the first Saturday in May. May 2nd, 2020, in the Run for the Roses. Welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And for those of you who have already started to come down with a case of Derby fever, this is the weekend for you. And I'm going to talk a lot about the potential Derby picture with the two-year-olds in the limelight, in the spotlight anyway, later today. Good morning and a welcome to the show that launched a network. This is indeed the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. I am Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch. Glad to be back in the saddle with you on this final Saturday of November 2019. Coming to you from our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios and wishing everyone a very happy Thanksgiving weekend. And I really hope that you're starting to come out of that tryptophan coma, and I hope you're hungry for some great racing, because this weekend, this Thanksgiving feast is going to continue. And it continues at racetracks all across the nation, certainly here in the Bluegrass, where Kentucky Oaks and Kentucky Derby hopefuls highlight this afternoon's card at Churchill Downs. And trust me, it's not visions of sugar plums dancing in their heads. It's more like lilies and roses. The horses going to the post in the Grade 2 Goldenrod and the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club have their sights set on returning to Churchill Downs in early May next year. And for Hall of Fame trainer Steve Asmussen, he's going to be busy later today. He'll be seeking his second win in the Kentucky Jockey Club when he sends out Silver Prospector, very talented, but has to prove he belongs at this level, as so many of these young horses do. They're still, keep in mind, they're still developing, they're still growing, they're still learning. And believe it or not, Steve is going to be trying to win the Goldenrod for the very first time when he saddles 7-5 morning line favorite Finite. Steve has won more races in the history of our sport than only Dale Baird. Second all time. He's never won the Goldenrod, but Finite looks to be the real deal. She breaks from the rail, and she's going to look to give him win number one in that particular stake race later today. Steve's going to be with me after our first commercial break, right around 8:13 Eastern. So stay tuned. We'll look back on his unbelievable year as well. He has saddled a multitude of Grade 1 winners here in 2019, and they have won a plethora of Grade 1 races. So we'll talk to Steve about that coming up in just a little bit. Barkley Tagg is going to be with me at 8:35 Eastern. And Barkley is back on the Derby trail with the ultra-talented New York-bred Tis the Law. He's the 7-5 morning line favorite in this afternoon's Kentucky Jockey Club. And it's a cool story because he's owned by Jack Knowlton's Saratoga Stable, who campaigned 2003 Kentucky Derby winner Funnyside. And you have to think that if Tis the Law remains undefeated after today's Kentucky Jockey Club, that Jack might be reserving that big yellow school bus again for the first Saturday in May. You remember that whole story with Funnyside where they rented a school bus and made the trip down to Churchill Downs to watch Funnyside win the Derby in 2003. I'm a big believer in karma. I'm a superstitious guy, as many of you know who have been listening to the show. I don't think you change anything. I think you try to get the same school bus if it's still in operation. Who knows? Maybe after Funnyside won, maybe Jack bought the school bus and he can fire it up again to get back to Churchill. But a lot of things still left to be determined and still left to be done for Tis the Law if he's going to get back there. First of all, he has to focus on today's Kentucky Jockey Club. So Barkley tag with me, 8:35 Eastern. That should be fun. How about jockey Julien Leperoux? Julien is tied with Hall of Famer Don Brumfield for most wins in the Goldenrod. He's won that race four times. He's well-mounted in today's renewal. He has turtle tacks for Ian Wilkes. They're 6-1 on the morning line. We'll see if he can surpass Don Brumfield and pick up win number five. Turtle tracks. I think I called it turtle tacks the first time. She is turtle tracks. Turtle tracks is rapidly improving. And Ian Wilkes is a true horseman. He knows how to get a horse ready for a big race like this. So turtle tracks, although she has to face Finite, is a horse you better keep an eye on later today, especially with a guy like Julien aboard. Julien's also looking for his third win in the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes aboard South Bend for Stanley Huff. 9-5 second choice on the morning line behind only Tis the Law. We'll talk to Julien about both of those horses coming up at 9:20 Eastern time. This is also the weekend where you can start placing some Derby wagers. The Kentucky Derby future wager pool opened on Thursday, and a lot of ways to go there. If you're looking for value, this is probably the pool for you. If you have a horse like, let's say, Maxfield, for example, who is on the shelf until next year and will point for that three-year-old campaign, he was 15-1 to kick off future pool number one. Now, this can all change as the wagering comes in, but 15-1 on Maxfield, who may, at least right now, be the top, well, Tis the Law will have something to say about that, but may be among the top three-year-olds or two-year-olds in the country, getting ready to turn three January 1st, 15-1 might not be bad on a horse like Maxfield, because if he continues to develop and improve, you're going to get less than that on Derby Day if he is indeed the real deal. So you have to weigh those questions. Darren Rogers is the Senior Director of Communications at Churchill Downs. He'll join me 9 o'clock Eastern time to talk about the Derby future wager pool number one and some strategies you might want to use when you're looking at betting the Derby this early. This is also the weekend that begins Gulfstream's championship meet, which is always highly anticipated. So many of the top barns and the top horses make their way to South Florida over the next couple of months. Mike Lakow is the new vice president of racing operations at Gulfstream. He'll be with me 9:40 Eastern, and we'll look ahead to what you can expect from not only this opening weekend, but the entire championship meet. So if you can't tell, it's going to be a busy show. I also want to throw out the poll question here, and with so many of you out shopping for that perfect gift this weekend, I thought it would be interesting to know what gift you would give to the sport of horse racing this holiday season. So if you're out there shopping and you're thinking about, what would the perfect gift be for the sport of thoroughbred racing? That's what I want to know. So go to @HRRN on Twitter, and here's the way it'll be worded. If you were to buy a gift to give to thoroughbred racing this holiday season, what is it going to be? It's pretty simple, but I think you have to give that a little bit of thought. If you were to buy a gift to give to the sport of thoroughbred racing this holiday season, what is it going to be? I think you can go a lot of different directions here. The answers should be pretty interesting. So go to @HRN on Twitter, weigh in on that poll question. Follow us on Facebook and on Instagram as well, Horse Racing Radio Network. Going to get to a break. When I come back, we'll kick it all off with Hall of Fame trainer Steve Asmussen. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Kenda Equine and Pet Care products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment. Along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
The National HBPA is a coalition of over 30 individual affiliates in the United States and Canada, comprised of thousands of thoroughbred owners, trainers, and breeders, committed to the positive future of thoroughbred racing while working to increase its popularity and uphold the highest standards of welfare and integrity. Stop by to visit CEO Eric Hamelback at the National HBPA headquarters in Lexington, Kentucky, and see what the HBPA is doing for you.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Grade 1 winning millionaire Preservationist. The exceptionally talented son of Arch boasts Foundation mares Courtly D and Manad on the top and bottom of his blue-blooded pedigree. On the racetrack, he was one of 2019's best, taking the Grade 1 Woodward at Saratoga and historic Suburban at Belmont Park.
And Preservationist has won the Suburban by 4.5 lengths over Catholic Boy and Pebble.
Preservationist, another exciting addition to the Airdrie Stud Stallion roster. Think about it.
Introducing new to Spendthrift's Share the Upside program for 2020. Cold Front.
Cold Front does it again, wiring the field in the Amsterdam.
The world-class miler retires with more than $1.8 million in earnings and owns a rare 5 graded stakes wins at 5 different distances and racetracks.
Cold Front wins it for the U.S.
Now available for inspection and offered for a limited time on the Share the Upside program. Cold Front. Mine your mare's potential at Spendthrift Farm, the breeder's farm.
Hi, this is Penelope Miller, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
100 yards out, Secret Spice, and She's a Julie. Secret Spice digging down deep. She's a Julie surging to win it.
Be a Mischief holding on. Be a Mischief wins the Humanities Stand. Midnight Bizou leaves no doubt today. She won the Phipps in hand, but it is Basin. Basin and Jose Ortiz are running away in the Run Happy Hopeful. Wicked Whisper from Frank's Rocket, and it's Wicked Whisper loud and clear in the Frisette.
McCauley's a monster! McCauley wins the sprint! Oh, what a horse he is!
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Broadcast Studios. And that montage you just heard really just kind of scratches the surface on what has been a remarkable year for Hall of Fame trainer Steve Asmussen. Those six individual Grade 1 winners have won a plethora of Grade 1 races here in 2019 for Steve. And he is nice enough to join us now for a few minutes on a very busy morning for him. Steve, first and foremost, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you very much. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
You know, I'll tell you, every year, I liken you and your operation to kind of a fine wine, where every year you just seem to get better and better and better. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you keep topping what you do the years before, but six individual Grade 1 winners, ultra impressive, my friend.
Thank you very much. Obviously, we're very proud of the opportunities we've been given and try to make the most of it.
When you look back on this year and when the dust will settle, I don't know if you get time to actually sit back and reflect on what happened here in 2019, but when you think back on this year and everything you've accomplished, what are some of the things that initially jump out to you that you're most proud of?
Well, the opportunities with Midnight Bisou and Matoli, and hoping and expecting them to have year-end championship honors is hard to match, you know. So I think that is the most significant thing, as with both of those winning eclipses this year.
Yeah, so many people have said Mattoli should be in the Horse of the Year discussion, and I'm sure as his trainer, you're probably going to agree with that sentiment. Why should Mattoli be in that discussion?
Well, we could stick out a graph of who he beat this year and who the other Horse of the Year contenders beat this year and see who's more deserving.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, that's really the way you have to look at it. Talking with Hall of Fame trainer Steve Asmussen here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Steve, also a very busy day for you coming up on Saturday afternoon here with a couple of horses going, a couple of young horses going in the graded stakes at Churchill Downs, Silver Prospector looking toward the Kentucky Jockey Club, and Finite in the Goldenrod. Why don't we start with the ladies first and talk about Finite a little bit?
Well, another talented homebred of Winchell's, which her run in the Rags to Riches was excellent, and this being her first opportunity at two turns, pretty concerned with the pending weather. Looks like we are going to get more than a little bit of water, and how she will handle that. But she is definitely a very nice race mare, and her Rags to Riches showed us how fast she's capable of being over a distance of ground.
When you have a talented filly or a talented colt, like, say, Silver Prospector, when you have a horse like that and they're young, and you talk about the weather conditions and maybe having to run on what could be a very wet racetrack, a sloppy racetrack, whatever it might be, are you anxious about those moments, or are you kind of anticipating, almost looking forward to what they can do over a racetrack like that?
A high confidence level in the surface being wet at Churchill. I think our first concern is always that. Churchill Downs handles water extremely well, and I think that we'll have that variable takes care of itself. I think on an off racetrack, though, little things are exaggerated. Just hopefully you're away cleanly, somewhat of a decent trip. Not everybody runs into the off going the same, and it usually changes some people's tactics because of the off going. So the unforeseen is your worry.
How about the inside post position? Does that change anything going a mile and a 16th at Churchill in terms of what you'll tell Ricardo before the race?
From what we've seen of her in the past, where she drew wasn't going to have a lot to do with where she was early in a race. So you just want her to be away cleanly. More of what we're used to, how tiring the racetrack is and how it's playing. You'll monitor that and see as the day goes along exactly how aggressive we feel we should be with her.
You know, I started by talking about the success you've had this year, and of course, you know, second all time in terms of number of wins in our sport, which is ultra impressive in its own right. But this horse, Finite, is owned in part by your good friend and longtime client, Ron Winchell, and Winchell Thoroughbreds. Tell me a little bit about that relationship and what it means when you get another big horse for Ron.
Long-term relationships like that in racing is, rare. And for us to have some of the champions that we've had, Untappable and the amazing run that Gunrunner, in partnership with Three Chimneys, put us on and stuff, it's what you dream about growing up in this as a kid. And for the long-term kind of association between the Winchell family and mine goes back to when I was in school. My father started horses for Ron's dad in the 80s, and it has continued to now, which is very special, especially in this day and age.
Yeah, it certainly is. Turn our attention to the Kentucky Jockey Club. Silver Prospector, not quite as accomplished as Finite is on the filly side of things, but he's a horse that has shown plenty of ability, especially when you moved him over to the main track. Tell me about him.
Right. Declaration of War. Trained well on the dirt, expecting him to run on the turf, and he ran reasonable, but he's obviously been better on the dirt. I thought he ran a very fast race and a very competitive maiden race at Keeneland, wheeled back in the street since on somewhat short notice, way better timing going into the Kentucky Jockey Club, but came out of the street since in good shape, has put in good training.
nothing but respect for how talented the field the Kentucky Jockey Club is, but we're expecting his best race to date.
And, you know, you've partnered quite often over the years with Ricardo Santana Jr. It's been a great relationship, much like you have with Ron Winchell, but you have this relationship with Ricardo on the jockey side of things. Why is he kind of your go-to rider, if you want to look at it in that fashion?
Well, we're looking for we've talked about doing better than you've done before, and that is our goal, and being able to learn together and move forward and try to improve doing this. I think that not starting over all the time helps us to get in that direction with the whole stable. And I don't think, obviously Ricardo has an elite level of a natural talent, and both of us have a very similar approach. And no matter how good we've done, we want to do better, and we will continue to do that.
Yeah, I love that you say those words, and I love to hear you talk about your approach. I'm curious about your approach. When you get a young horse into your barn, you start working with them for the first time, and you're trying to figure them out a little bit, what's the Steve Asmussen approach or philosophy to working with young horses?
Well, you know, first of all, we're just blessed with tremendous opportunities, and it's quite obvious we get extremely talented horses to begin with. You're not going to run for them. But I think that our job is to mentally and physically prepare them for what we're going to ask of them. And we want to keep it in front of us and keep them moving forward, not get, when I say in front of us, you just don't want to do more than they're ready for physically or mentally, and so that they can develop into who they were meant to be. And I think that is some of this year's accomplishments. We're extremely proud of that. You know, you mentioned Mattoli and Midnight Bassoo and the level that they reached their four-year-old year. And we also had She's a Julie and Mia Mischief win their first grade ones as four-year-olds. And that kind of development and them allowing them to reach that level, their four-year-old year, is something we're very proud of.
How long does it take you to kind of determine if a horse has the ability, and I won't say that you'll know definitely that horse is going to be elite, but has the ability to be elite when you first start working with them?
I am very optimistic and feel that every one of them has the chance of getting there. And I think that's from growing up on the racetrack. You're just the next one, or, you know, the next Curlin, the next Rachel, the next Gunrunner, even knowing how basically impossible that is. But to be in horse racing, you have to be optimistic from the beginning. And then we're very fortunate to have some that come through. But what sorts horses on at that level is who they are under those circumstances, taking that amount of pressure at that level and embracing who they are.
Well, you can see what makes him so good. He is Hall of Fame trainer Steve Asmussen here on HRRN. Steve, I know you have a lot of things to get to today, so I'll ask you just for a quick update on Midnight Bisou. I think the plans from what I heard were to go to Saudi Arabia for the Saudi Cup, but I'll let you update us on that. And then Basin and Wicked Whisper, what are the situations there?
Well, all three are at the fairgrounds right now, and obviously the Saudi Cup, there is quite a few unknowns, being the first year running of it. Love the idea of Midnight Bassoo at a one-turn mile and an eighth with the success she's had in one-turn route races at Belmont, very similar configuration of the racetrack. And it is a opportunity of a lifetime with a very special mare.
And how about Basin and Wicked Whisper? What are the plans for them moving forward?
We will. They're back in light training at the fairgrounds, and both of them being grade one winners at two. Obviously, we are going to map out a schedule that will get them back to Louisville
the first weekend of May, hopefully at their best.
All right. Well, Steve Asmussen here on HRRN. Steve, I'll give you one word of advice. Be careful taking Jeff Bloom with you over to Saudi Arabia. Just be a little cautious there. I've been on the road with that man for a lot of years here, so err on the side of caution.
We're looking forward to it. We are looking for what an opportunity this is, and we're definitely looking forward to it.
We'll be cheering for you. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate the visit.
All right, thank you.
All right, Steve Asmussen here on HRRN. And like all of our guests, he is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. And when you think about the year that Steve has had, you heard me start talking with him about his six individual Grade 1 winners. I couldn't think of anybody better to honor as our industry star of the week for this Saturday morning. So Steve is indeed our industry star of the week. That segment brought to you by Stuart Morris, who offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation, and he wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his team. His success is because of you, and with multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years, including Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart is your source for success at the highest levels. I promise you, he'll do a great job. So give him a call today or go see him at all the major sales across the country. He is Stuart Morris, and he will certainly take care of you and do an amazing job. Think about that. Six individual Grade 1 winners, and that's for a lot of trainers, that's a career. That's not a good year like it is for Steve Asmussen. That's a career. And he continues. Now, he talked about it. He said, yeah, we're blessed with good horses and good opportunities. That doesn't guarantee you anything. That doesn't guarantee you anything. Look at the horses that Todd Pletcher has. And this, although a good year for Todd, not the typical year we were used to seeing by Todd Pletcher. But, of course, he jumps up and saddles Vino Rosso to win the Breeders' Cup Classic. That made it a little bit better. But we're used to seeing Todd saddle Grade 1 winner after Grade 1 winner after Grade 1 winner. Didn't happen for him this year. He's got good horses, just like Steve. Doesn't guarantee you anything. What guarantees you success is what Steve talked about. His approach to always trying to do better. How many times do you hear that just in sports in general? You have a team that goes out and wins a race, or an individual that goes out and wins a game, or an individual that goes out and wins some sort of competition in their chosen profession. And they'll say, yeah, it was good, but we can be better. We can always do better. I can be better next time. And that's, you just heard it. That's the Steve Asmussen philosophy. If you're wondering what makes him so good and how he can continue to do this year in and year out, that's why. And you look back on last year, I mentioned six. You want to know how good this year is for Steve? Six individual Grade 1 winners? Look back at 2018. We think about Gunrunner. We think about horses like Midnight Bisou, who came into his barn last year. He had Mia Mischief. He had She's a Julie, Be Jersey, all those horses. He only had three individual Grade 1 winners in 2018. Gunrunner, Be Jersey, who won the Met Mile, and Midnight Bisou, who won the Grade 1 Cotillion last year. So as many good horses as he had, and as many graded stakes winners as he had last year, he didn't have six. This has been quite a year for Steve Asmussen, and now he's loaded going into 2020, because Midnight Bisou will stay in training. You heard she'll point for the Saudi Cup, which is a great opportunity. She'll face the boys there. And a one-turn mile and an eighth, he loves that, probably right up her alley. And he does have Basin, who won the Hopeful at Saratoga. He has Wicked Whisper, who won the Frisette. And then we talked about Finite going in the Goldenrod later today. And yeah, Silver Prospector, he's talented, but he has a lot to prove. He's not there yet. But keep in mind, they're only two-year-olds. They're still learning. We'll see more from Silver Prospector. He'll continue to develop. Whether he develops into a Grade 1 winner for Steve, who knows? But as he talked about, He looks at every horse like that. He's an optimist. He thinks every horse that comes into his barn can be the next champion. Good stuff from Steve Asmus and fascinating thoughts, you know, kind of getting into his head a little bit there and seeing the way he thinks and he approaches the game and his philosophies. That's what makes Steve Asmussen so good, and my thanks to Steve for taking the time here this morning. Going to talk to another good trainer coming up in our next segment. That's trainer Barkley Tagg, who has had an awful lot of success in this game over the years, and he continues to be consistent. Back on the Derby trail with Tis the Law, who so many people feel could be the best two-year-old in the country right now. Doesn't guarantee he'll go on and become the best three-year-old, but right now, many people feel like Tis the Law could be the best, and he'll have to prove it again later today in the Kentucky Jockey Club. We'll talk to Barkley when we return, but it's time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty here in Lexington, Kentucky. And I've told you for about 15 years now that if you were in the market for a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle, there is only one place to go. You know where to go. If you're in the horse business, they are the dealership of the equine industry in Central Kentucky. It's the Lexus store of Lexington. You see the godfather, Tony Attiano. You see all the great people there. And trust me, they'll talk about horse racing with you, and then eventually you'll get around to driving one of the new Lexus, and you'll fall in love, and you'll buy it, and that's just the way it works. It's worked that way through this program for more than 15 years, and I can't thank everybody enough who has spent the time to go in, talk to the godfather, and to purchase a vehicle from the Lexus store of Lexington. This is your Lexus Legends of the Turf, and I'm back with Barkley Tagg right after this.
This is the story of a man who was unquestionably one of the very best in the annals of thoroughbred racing at plying his trade in the saddle. His accomplishments as a reinsman were not only noteworthy, but they were watermarks among the riding colony on two continents. The sands of the racing hourglass are poured back to the late 19th century to begin this odyssey. The subject of this dissertation first saw the light of day in Cadentown, Kentucky in 1883. He rode his first winner in Chicago in 1899 on a horse called Abenstroke, and he subsequently rode in this country with unrivaled success until 1903. In 1901, he piloted the winner of the Kentucky Derby on a horse named, perhaps fittingly, His Eminence, and the winners of the Latonia Derby, New Orleans Derby, and the Memphis Derby. In point of fact, in his abbreviated American riding career, he had but four Kentucky Derby now mounts, but never finished out of the money. He won that classic in back-to-back years aboard the aforementioned His Eminence, and in 1902 with Allen & Dale. He was third while in the saddle aboard Thrive in 1900, and was second aboard Early in 1903. He rode 161 winners in 1901, a total absolutely unheard of in that day and age. He often said the very best horse he ever rode was McChesney, a horse conditioned by Sam Hildreth. He eventually had a great deal of trouble making American riding weights and opted to cross the big pond, so to speak, to ride in Europe, and there he experienced measured success until 1930. He first rode in Russia, where he won the Russian Derby twice and finished second in that event four times in 6 years while under contract to Mr. M. Lazarev. From 1910 to 1912, he rode in Austria-Hungary for Prince Lubomirski. He then returned to Russia, where he rode from 1913 to 1917. He won the Russian Derby 3 years in a row, 1914, 1915, and 1960, for Leon Montshev, who at the time was one of the wealthiest men in the country. Our man left Russia in 1917 at the inception of that nation's revolution being led by Messrs. Trotsky and Lenin. When he was to leave that country, he went to bid his friend what was to be a fond farewell. Many years later, in 1941, he learned that his friend and benefactor, Mr. Montachev, was washing cars at that time for the Nazis in Paris. The story of our subject's escape from Russia in 1917 would provide more than ample fodder for Jean Le Carre's novel. Many times before escaping to Poland, he crawled on his hands and knees for hours to avoid being shot at by the Bolsheviks. In 1920, he left Warsaw for Paris, and he wound up there riding for Mr. Mantachev until 1926. He rode his last race in 1930 at the age of 47. Compositely, he rode over 2,300 winners in this country and in Europe, and he once rode 8 winners out of 11 mounts in Moscow. The vast majority of his victories were scored aboard two-year-olds because he always hustled them out of the gate, rated them, and then saved something for the finish. European riders, on the other hand, went hell-bent for leather throughout and had nothing left at the end. He always felt, although never able to explain why, that collectively, Australian riders were the best. Our man turned to training in France in the 1930s with horses in training at Maison Lafitte near Paris. When the Second World War broke out, he was forced to disband his stable and he turned his property over to the French government, which quartered 200 soldiers there. Then, after France's quick defeat, he was forced to quarter Nazi soldiers. On February 25, 1941, he began another portion of his international odyssey that brought him first to Spain, then to Portugal, and finally back to his native America. Having been in Europe for some time, he was fluent in French, German, and Russian, in addition to English. He passed away in 1941 at the nonagenarian age of 91, with not only fond memories of the turf on two continents, but with a cumulative riding record that by any measure, means, or standards has to rank among the all-time best. His story has the very fiber of what a legend of the world of racing is all about. He was Jimmy Wakefield.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Bloom Racing. Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Pulling away from Come Dancing, Mopetism, and the others, Midnight Bizou leaves no doubt today. She won the Phipps in hand.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now, get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Experience the thrill of pulse-pounding thoroughbred racing at the Maryland Jockey Club at Laurel Park. Step outside to a front-row seat for world-class racing or enjoy the view from towering windows in a gorgeous space. What better way to spend an afternoon than with friends, a craft beer, local cuisine, and a winning ticket? Play it safe on a favorite or take a chance on a long shot. Odds are you'll have a fabulous time. Live racing Friday through Sunday, post time 1:10 p.m.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
Hi, this is jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love listening to my friends on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
They're coming down to the final furlong, and the gutsy gelding funny side has a narrow lead. Bobby Frankel's Derby deal with Peace Falls to his inside. Empire Maker is giving it all. Funny side trying to pull up the upset here. 12-1 coming down to the line. Funny Side has won the 129th Kentucky Derby with jockey Stroll's an empire maker. That's what I'm talking about. Put in a belated run to be third.
Tom Durkin with a call of that 2003 running of the Kentucky Derby and the Gutsy Gelding funny side, giving Barkley Tag the victory for owner's Sakatoga Stable. What a moment it was. And as we know, funny side would go on to win far more races than just the Kentucky Derby. He was pretty darn good, and I'm sure nobody would agree with that statement more than his trainer, Barkley Tag, who is with me now on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Barkley, first of all, happy Thanksgiving to you and to your family, and thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you very much.
You know, you look back on your career and you look at 1,577 wins or whatever it is to date. It's been a lot. And you think about Funnyside and what he's meant to you and to all of those around you and to your barn. When you hear the name Funnyside now, all these years later, what things come to mind?
Well, it was a very happy time. I mean, everything went pretty well with him. He was a nice horse. And, it's nice when you find one like that and it works out for you. You know, it's, I don't know how to describe it. It's just what you're in the game for.
Well, and now you come back to Churchill Downs here on Saturday afternoon with Tiz the Law, who is undefeated, ultra-talented New York bred, and he shows all the qualities of being that type of horse. When you stand there, you look at the Twin Spires and you look at Tiz the Law, you have to dream of what could be on the first Saturday in May next year, don't you?
I'll see. Yep. We sure
do. What makes him so good?
I don't know. His mother and father, I guess. I thought he was very well put together. We liked him when we saw him up there at the sale. And he's a different type of horse than, say, Funnyside was, because people always want you to compare him, but there wasn't really any comparison of two different types. But I just couldn't fault him anywhere, and I thought if he went within our price range, we ought to take a shot at him. And it turned out that he might be pretty good. He's won his first two races rather easily, so we're excited about him.
Yeah, what was it physically that stood out to you when you first started looking at him at the sale?
Well, I mean, I like confirmation that looks sturdy and sound and can last and not be weak and things like that. It's hard to explain it all, but just what everybody looks at, I guess. And he seemed to hit all the qualities I liked, and here he is.
Yeah, here he is. When he won the Champagne last time out, he did it so impressively. What stood out to you most about that performance? What were your thoughts?
Well, he did it just like in his maiden race. He was running along and running along, and always looks like he's in a hack canter. He doesn't even look like he's running fast. And I started screaming for him at the head of the lane, and by the time I glanced again, he was like four in front. So he just does everything so easily. It's a kind of a fun thing and a pleasure to have him, but it's only two races. We've got a lot of wood to chop yet. So.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
We'll see.
You know, look, I mean, you look at your resume and all those wins and all the greatest stakes victories, and this is not – people will say, okay, Barkley Tag and Sakatoga, they're back on the Derby Trail again. Barkley Tag has been on the Derby Trail several times since Funnyside. This is nothing new to you. What are some of the things that you've learned over the years as you get a horse ready for a race like the Kentucky Derby potentially?
Well – like I say, I like a horse that I don't like to run a two-year-old too much. I think if I can get three races in him in the fall of the year, I really feel good about that. And I don't think it puts too much stress on their immature bones and ligaments and all that. It helps them grow. It helps them toughen up the bones and ligaments, I mean, and things like that. But I think if you run them over and over and over again, I think you do lasting damage to them because they're immature at the time, and I kind of think you have to let him recover from each thing with a little more time than usual. And it's not like the old days. Now they've been bred for speed now for the last 50 years, just for speed, and it makes it a lot tougher to get sound horses. But that's what I look for, and if I can get three races in him and space them nicely and not be under too much pressure to win a whole lot of stuff, I just think it gives you a better chance of things. Jack's a great guy to work for, and he kind of lets us do it the way we think's the right way to do it. And he's interested. I mean, he calls a lot and wants to know what's going on, you know, and things like that, which is all great. But when we explain it to him what we're doing, he's always very, very good about it. So it makes it easy to train that way.
Yeah. Will he reserve the yellow school bus if he wins with Tis the Law on Saturday?
I doubt it.
Hey, look, I'm superstitious. I'm Italian, Barkley. I'm superstitious. I think you got to stick with what worked.
Well, that was. I mean, he had a great group of people then. Jack, I tell you, Jack. I'm not just saying this because we're on the air, but Jack really attracts nice people. I mean, he had a lot of people in that last ownership thing with Funnyside, and everyone was just as nice a person as they could be. And he seems to have the same kind of group this time. I mean, Jack's a really, really good person, a really nice person, and he attracts those kind of people. And they're just, even though they're overwhelming because there's so many of them, they're just all so darn nice that you just can't help liking working for them. I'll tell you, he's a great guy.
You know, Barkley, you talk about being happy that you can get three starts into a two-year-old during their juvenile campaign. How about as a three-year-old? What's your philosophy there in terms of how many starts you would like to have in a horse that's a Derby prospect?
Well, with a Derby prospect, you have to be a little bit careful. I'd like to get two to three races in him before the Derby and feel good about that. Funny, lost his first three races of his three-year-old year, but he showed up big in the Derby and the Preakness. And we just had things just didn't work out right for us at all in the Belmont Stakes. But that's horse racing. He still ran a pretty darn good race, so we can't complain. And I just think three races is enough for him. I mean, it's just if it's a horse I really, really like and think will have a great future, well, I'd like to get three races if I can in him. And if I can't, I'm not going to worry about it because I don't. I mean, it's hindsight, but I think like Baffert did, even, you know, there's no reason why they have to run in the Derby to be able to, I mean, run as a two-year-old to be able to run in the Derby. It doesn't make any sense, really. But I still think if you can get a couple races under their belt without doing any damage, why, you're a little ahead of the game when you start out as a three-year-old.
Yeah, talking with trainer Barkley Tagg here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Earlier, Barkley, you were talking about that two-year-old campaign and how if you can maybe top it out at three starts, that's a good number because otherwise you can do some lasting damage to horses, especially young horses like that where they're still developing. Are horses different now physically than they were when you first started training? Have you seen a difference there?
Oh, I think so. I think they're a little more delicate now. And like I say, I've been doing this for 50 years, and they're just bred for speed so much now that you just don't see horses running as often and as well as they used to. That's all there is to it. You see some awfully fast horses, but they don't seem to last long most of the time. But I mean, some of that's the campaign they put them in, and some of it's the breeding. But it's a tough thing to work your way through, and. When you win right off the bat with a two-year-old, of course, everybody wants to go on with them, and it's hard to say, no, we're going to go slow and just do a couple more races and things like that. But I think in the long run, you're better off that way if you think you can have a future horse that way.
Yeah, I love the patience you showed with this horse, too, after he won the Champagne. I guess you could have gone right to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, but you opt to come here instead. How come? What was that decision all about?
Well, like I say, I like to put some space between our races, and I was fortunate enough here to get him his first race in him. I think it was around the 8th of August. And funny side, I got all three of his in the fall, but this one came early, so I thought I could space him out well. And we did. I thought we spaced him out very well, but the Breeders' Cup would have kind of been in the way, and it would have required running him back rather quickly after the Champagne. And, you know, it's a big ship out to California. It's a big, big day for a big few days for a young horse. And, you know, I didn't like the goings on about the track out there. I'm not so sure it wasn't the track because it was causing most of the trouble or anything else. And like I say, I've always gotten along great with the Stronachs. I think the world of them, and I've trained for them and everything else. But I just don't like all the liberal stuff that's going on out there, and I didn't want to get embroiled in it. And it gave me another excuse besides the fact I didn't want to run him back that quickly.
Yeah.
So this way it let me space everything out really well. So.
Where will Tis the Law spend the winter?
In Palm Meadows with us.
Okay. Yeah. Great spot to be.
Dad's very good about that, too. Even though he likes New York breads, and that's what he wants is New York breads, he's very good about taking them south and freshening them and getting them legged up down there and ready to go again without having to fight the cold weather and the wet tracks and the frozen ground and stuff like that. And he's very good about that kind of stuff.
Do you even let yourself think about what it might be like to hand Jack the Derby trophy again on the first Saturday in May next year? Do you even think that far ahead?
I won't be able to get it out of his hands, let alone have it to hand to him. No, I'm just kidding. But it'd be nice. It would be nice.
I've had so many
it's
trainers.
It's all pretty premature, though. It's a long way to the Derby.
It is. It is. No, you're not kidding. It certainly is. There's a lot of, as you said, a lot of work left to do between now and then. And you hate to even talk about it because it is so far away. But, you know, a lot of trainers have told me, Barkley, that when you get there and you win it, it's almost like a drug. You want that feeling again. You want to get back there even more than you did before. Is that true?
That's for sure. Yeah, that's for sure.
Wow. Well, Barkley Tagg here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Well Barkley, look, always enjoyable to catch up with you. And Tis the Law looking like the real deal at this point. All the best with him and today in the Kentucky Jockey Club and then moving forward throughout his three-year-old campaign. And I'll look forward to catching up with you when we make it down to Florida later this year.
All right.
All right, Barkley Tagg here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, he is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Yeah, Tis the Law looks like the real deal. I mean, you heard Barkley talk about the professionalism that he showed in both of his starts. The Champagne was a carbon copy of his maiden win. His maiden win was against State Breds. So you said, okay, well, can he do it in a grade one against Open Company? And the very talented Greenlight Go, who he defeated that day, who many people thought, at that point anyway, was the top two-year-old in the country. Certainly one of them. Tis the Law buried him, crushed him, 1-4. And now he gets the spacing in between races. I don't think Barkley could be any happier with Tis the Law, the way he's doing right now, the way he's coming into this race, and the way that this campaign has unfolded for him. It sounds like it is textbook Barkley Tagg. We'll see. We'll see if he can continue to develop as he moves through not only this year, but into his three-year-old campaign. Going to get to a break. I'll come back and get you set for hour number two. I'll tell you who's going to join me there. Three guests coming up, and it's a busy second half of the show. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Power.
Taprit is still there. Master Plan is gaining. Master Plan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Master Plan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home four lengths to the good.
Performance.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud. Out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Grade Estates producer, Appealing Zophie. Taprit, standing for $12,500 at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Enticed, lengthening his stride, trying to get to this long shot Old Time Revival, and he collars him at the 16th pole. It will be Enticed, sharp in victory, and wrapped up by Junior Alvarado as they stroll home in the Gotham.
Back in 2018, Enticed rolled in the Grade 3 Gotham, going a mile at Aqueduct, beating Grade 1 Champagne winner Firenze Fire in the process. That makes him the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. By Medaglia d'Oro, out of the three-time Grade 1 winner, It's Tricky, Enticed was a graded stakes winner on dirt at 2 and 3. He won the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club at 2 and the Grade 3 Gotham at 3, earning a 95 buyer speed figure. He's new to Jonah Bell Farm in 2020. Go to DarleyAmerica.com to learn about Enticed and the other Darley Stallions.
This is Chris Landeros. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Around the far turn, it is still Wildcat Red, General A-Rod a half length behind. Cairo Prince being sent along. Constitution is going to get through an opening on the inside. Here he comes, bounding through on the rail. Constitution up the rail with Javier Castellano, head and head with Wildcat Red. On the outside, General A-Rod. Cairo Prince, it's Wildcat Red, Constitution, head and head, Wildcat Red, Constitution, won a Florida Derby, and Constitution has won! He beats Wildcat Red, General A-Rod was third, and Cairo Prince was fourth.
Larry Colmus with the call of the 2014 Florida Derby. What a prep race that's been in terms of producing Kentucky Derby winners. Constitution didn't win the Kentucky Derby, but he won the Florida Derby impressively that afternoon. And Constitution, you might be saying, okay, why did you go with that clip as your rejoin out of the commercial break? Well, Constitution is the 6-1 favorite among the individual choices in the Kentucky Derby Sire future wager pool. Remember, they started that now. You can bet on the Sire that you think is going to produce the Kentucky Derby winner. And Constitution, 6-1 favorite as the wagering was opening this past Thursday. So not only can you bet the Derby future wagers and the horse you think is going to win, but you can bet on the Sire as well. And you might be wondering, okay, well, why is Constitution the favorite? You just heard me talk to Barkley Tagg in the last segment about Tis the Law. Tis the Law, one of 8 Derby prospects, Derby hopefuls, sired by Constitution at this point. Yeah, he's off to a fast start for Windstar. Constitution, the son of Tappet, no surprise there. 6-1 favorite among the individual entries that you can bet for the sires. American Pharoah, 8-1. Second choice. He has a ton of potential Kentucky Derby prospects. So, that's why I wanted to use that. Very interesting. Going to be joined by Darren Rogers, the Senior Director of Communications at Churchill, coming up in just a few minutes, 9 Eastern. He'll talk about the Derby Future Wager pools and the Sire pool. Julian Leperu will be with me at 9:20 Eastern Time to talk about his mounts in today's Golden Rod and Kentucky Jockey Club. And then 9:40 Eastern, Mike Lakow, the Vice President of Racing Operations at Gulfstream, going to be with me to talk about their championship meet and opening weekend. Remember, the meet opened yesterday. And looking forward to talking to Mike, because that's always an exciting time. The Pegasus World Cup, the Florida Derby, all part of what is a spectacular meet. That's all ahead on HRN, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Midnight Fisa was closing on the outside. Blue Prize has it, though, close to home. And it's going to be Blue Prize and Joe Bravo to win the Breeders' Cup Distaff.
Bowie's Hero from the outside. Diamond Oops, Bowie's Hero. Next shares to the inside. Bowie's Hero. Bowie's Hero wins the Shadwell Turf Mile.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
McKenzie is all out, but today belongs to Mongolian Grove. It's Mongolian Grove, wire to wire in the Oscar again under Abel Sadil. McKenzie settles for second.
Chancelot at the 16th pole. Matoli runs at him. Chancelot and Matoli. Matoli's a monster. Matoli wins the sprint.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron in the Backstretch, coming to you from our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. Very busy program. If you missed any of my interviews in the first half of the show, you'll want to go back and listen to the podcast after 10 a.m. Eastern. We'll have that posted for you at horseracingradio.net. My interviews with Hall of Fame trainer Steve Asmussen, looking back on his tremendous year here in 2019 and looking ahead to his contenders in today's Goldenrod and Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. And fun interview with Barkley Tagg a few minutes ago, talking about the favorite in the Kentucky Jockey Club and maybe the favorite for the Kentucky Derby right now, Tis the Law. All of those are going to be posted on our website and available for you to listen to at your leisure, horseracingradio.net. I also threw out a poll question at the top of the show. With everybody kind of recovering from the tryptophan hangover, you're out, many of you, out doing some shopping now, some holiday shopping. If you're looking for the gift, well, put it this way. Let's do it this way. You can go to @HRN on Twitter to weigh in on this poll question. If you were to buy a gift to give to Thoroughbred Racing this holiday season, what is it going to be? That's our poll question. As we await Darren Rogers to join me here on the network, he's going to talk about the future wager pools. We are efforting him as we speak. I'll kind of share my thoughts on some, well, one item in particular that I'd like to give as a gift to the Thoroughbred race, to the Thoroughbred racing industry. Julian Leperu going to be with me, as I told you, 9:20 Eastern. Mike Lakow from Gulfstream, 9:40 Eastern time. I think if you're looking for the ideal gift for this industry, for this sport, I'm going to give the gift of unity and a unified voice. That's what I'm going to get for the Thoroughbred industry this year. That'll be my gift. And I think you can go a lot of different ways with this question. It can be somewhat thought-provoking like that. It can be more generic. Maybe you want to give the sport another Triple Crown winner coming up in 2020. A lot of talented two-year-olds looking to turn three. That could be the case. But I think unity and a unified voice might be the best gift for this industry right now. Because you think about many of the issues that have been facing the sport in recent months. And this has been, let's face it, especially for the Stronach Group and Santa Anita, which resonates to the entire sport. It's not just one industry who deals with these issues. You know, the catastrophic injuries that took place at Santa Anita and all of those issues. It affects everybody across the board. And so rather than one entity, one organization, one company, one racetrack coming out and saying, this is the way to handle the problem. Yes, they have to lead the way. It's their racetrack. But how about the entire sport coming together and the entire industry coming together with a unified voice and say, you know what? We understand that our partner, Santa Anita, is going through a very difficult time. And we understand that our partner, Santa Anita, is working very hard to rectify the issue. We also understand that so many of the horsemen that made the trip to Santa Anita, many of them East Coast horsemen who came out for the first time, came back and said, including Graham Motion, by the way, that all of the things that Santa Anita was doing to rectify those issues was working. In his opinion, he had never seen so much scrutiny go into each individual horse before they raced. So I think as a gift to the industry, I want to give the industry the gift of a unified voice, where it's not just Santa Anita, but it's the other racetracks and all the other industry organizations, NTRA, Jockey Club, TOBA, whatever it might be, every single organization fighting in the same direction, so that when we are faced with outside organizations who come after our sport, a la PETA, we can stand up with one unified voice and say, hey, wait a minute here. Wait a minute. Yeah, we have issues. Every sport has issues. Look at the NFL and all the concussion issues they've been dealing with. Right? Look at that situation. We have issues as a sport, but if we come together as a unified voice and a unified industry and say, whoa, 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 wait a minute here, PETA, or whoever else is coming after the sport saying you need to make changes, you need to do things. Yeah, there are some things that need to change, but there are an awful lot of good things about the sport of thoroughbred racing that are happening right now. So I think to give the gift of a unified voice would be the perfect gift. And a unified voice that was willing to stand up and say, wait, hold on a minute. What are you talking about, that this sport is cruel and inhumane? Are you off your rocker? Do you know how well these horses, our horses in our industry, are treated? We do. People in the industry, in the sport, know how well they're treated, because we're in it and we live it day in and day out. But people outside of the industry, watching CNBC, watching CNN, watching NBC, CBS, whatever it might be, and they see the reports come on the nightly news, you would think that this is the most awful sport in the world, and all we're doing is torturing our horses, making them do things they don't want to do, being cruel and inhumane. Not the case. So my gift to the thoroughbred industry this season is unity and a unified voice. Stand up and be proud of this sport. Be proud of everything that this sport has to offer and all of the great things that are happening in the sport, all of the good things we are doing, and be proud of the way our horses are treated. That's my gift. And make sure you let that voice be heard and you let people know, hey, hold on a minute. You want to say that this sport is cruel and inhumane? Hold on a minute. Let me show you all the great things that this sport has to offer. Yeah, I'll admit we have issues, but here are all the great things we have to offer. So that's my gift. I don't know. It wasn't very cheery. Wasn't very holiday-like, but but that's my gift to the sport of thoroughbred racing. Darren Rogers is with me now, the senior director of communications at Churchill Downs. Darren, look, let's turn the subject back to a positive subject. I spent a lot of the first half of the program talking about the first Saturday in May and some of the top Oaks and Derby contenders we're going to see at Churchill on Saturday afternoon. Man, what a weekend it's going to be, my friend.
Yeah, Mike, good morning. And it really is a tremendous day of racing. You know, the weather's going to be a little iffy today, but I'm really looking forward to seeing a horse like Tis the Law compete in the Kentucky Jockey Club. I thought his first two races, his debut at Saratoga, where he was, rated nicely and won comfortably, and then to duplicate that performance against a top colt in Green Light Go in the Champagne, where he was essentially bottled up for three quarters of the race, and then to draw off and win comfortably. That's quite an education for a two-year-old's first two races. And I just think the sky's the limit for Tis the Law and Sacatoga Stable and Barkley Tag. Very excited for them.
So let me ask you this question. Looking ahead to the Derby future wagers, which opened on Thursday, this is pool number one. Tis the Law opened at odds of 20-1. If you're a Tis the Law fan, are you just salivating at those kinds of odds?
Yeah, you know, as I recommend to all horse players, you know, the pool will close Sunday at 6 p.m. And, of course, it also runs concurrently with the Kentucky Derby sire future wager. So, you know, Tis the Law might not be your best example because Tis the Law is a son of Constitution, and constitutions are running all over the place. I mean, you talk about a coupling of Tis the Law, Independence Hall, and others. Governor Morris is another.
Yep.
That's quite a punch. But take a look at the sire of your colt, whoever you may favor within the Kentucky Derby future wager, and just to see if the odds are similar. Sometimes they're better even with the sire, and then you get all the progeny. But this is a very interesting cast, Mike, because I believe when it's all said and done, first of all, the all others wager, if that is the case, if the past 22 years is any indication, the first future wager we offer, the all others has gone favored, and it should close somewhere around 6-5 or 7-5. But the individual favorites are going to be very interesting because, you know, you have some, I think, very talented horses between Tis the Law and Independence Hall, the runaway winner of the Nashua. Even a horse like Dennis's Moment, who went to his knees at the start of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and lost all chance. He is uber talented. Maxfield, who missed the Breeders' Cup Juvenile with a minor setback, and then a colt like Honor AP, who will be headlining the Los Alamitos Futurity coming up on December the 7th. There are some very, very intriguing prospects, and I'm going to be interested to see who ends up going off as the individual favorite when the pool closes Sunday at 6.
Yeah, I'm kind of flipping through right now, and it does look like you have a couple of horses at 11-1. You have Independence Hall from Mike Trombetta, who is 11-1, and then the aforementioned Tis the Law, who will be the favorite in the Kentucky Jockey Club at odds of 11-1. They're kind of co-favorites at this point, but a lot of money still going to come into this, and things will shift quite often, but it does appear like those two horses are going to be among the favorites. And then Maxfield right there at 12-1, and I'm glad you mentioned his name because I think he could end up being, you know, one of the more talented contenders on the road to the Kentucky Derby in 2020.
My heart sank for Brendan Walsh when the horse was scratched from the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and the way the race ended up shaking down, well, you'd have to think he might have won that race. But there, you know, the horse is going to rejoin Brendan's stable down in South Florida. He'll have a winter campaign, and he's going to be a fun one to monitor over the winter time. This is a very intriguing group at this stage. And then, of course, as you know, and your listeners know, we're going to see many more players emerge.
Yeah.
That's what happens over the course of the wintertime. That's what makes this road to the Derby so much fun is watching new contenders and prospects emerge on a weekly basis between now and the middle of February.
And then we hit the championship series.
And that's when the points get larger and larger down. And they add up one and they add up.
We'll have to reconnect with Darren here very quickly. Obviously, some phone issues there on his end. I'm sure he is very busy around the racetrack, so the reception maybe not the greatest. We'll try to reconnect with him very quickly. We have a couple of minutes left before we have to get to our next commercial break and then bring in jockey Julien Leperoux, who will join us shortly after 9:20 Eastern time this morning. So we'll try to get back with Darren here. I did have another question for him, too. I wanted to ask him his approach and his philosophy when it comes to betting this future pool one. Darren, we had some technical issues there. You were kind of breaking up on us, so you're back with us now. I do want to ask you that question very quickly, though, about the approach that you have when you're playing these future wagers. Obviously, you got to get some reward here because it's a high-risk wager. If your horse doesn't make it to the starting gate on the first Saturday in May, you don't have any chance to win. What's your philosophy and your approach?
Well, in this pool, Mike, I'm going to look at a horse like Honor AP, because I like betting a horse in advance of the race. So, for example, if Tis the Law runs off the screen in the Kentucky Jockey Club later today, his odds are going to be significantly lower than they would have been.
Yeah.
So I'm going to look at a horse like Honor AP, who is a son of Honor Code, and I'm going to look at Honor Code's odds near 6 o'clock on Sunday to see if they mirror Honor AP, and if they do, I'm probably going to place a wager on Honor Code, because I'm not only going to get Honor AP, I'm going to get other progeny from Honor Code as well. So that's actually Honor AP is one of the top colts that I'm looking at within this wager.
I don't know if you have this information handy, Darren, on the off the top of your head, but you mentioned that throughout history, the all others category has closed as the favorite in pool number one, and we're expecting that to be the case again this year. Has pool number one, any of the horses in the main body of pool number one, have any of them come back and won the Kentucky Derby the following year? Do you know?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, I can think of one that jumps into to mind most recently.
Okay.
Nyquist. Was one. Yeah, we've had a number of horses do it, but it's 50-50. I mean, look, at this time, you know, last year, I believe Country House had one start under his belt. Two years ago, Justify had not even made his career debut until the middle of February. I think it's three of the last six or seven years that all others has cashed, but there have been others that have been. Nyquist is one that comes to mind. I know that was a part of the initial wager.
Yep. Yeah, I'm sure horses like Street Sense, for example, right? Probably. In
yep.
that pool number one, he would have been in the body after winning the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Interesting stuff. Darren Rogers, the Senior Director of Communications here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Darren, about a minute left. I have to get to our next commercial break. Julien Leperoux is coming up next. But do want to ask you about this weekend and this particular day. What other things can folks look forward to outside of those two big Grade 2 races later today?
Well, there's some really intriguing races on tap. You know, I think the thing I like the most about Stars of Tomorrow is it's always going to produce future prospects, and it sets the tone for the wintertime of this road to the Kentucky Derby. You know, the Goldenrod today is a very intriguing race with Finite for Steve Asmussen. She's an intriguing filly who comfortably won the Rags to Riches under Ricardo Santana at the start of the meet. But the horse just to her outside, I'm very intrigued by. Turtle Tracks for Ian Wilkes. I think this horse is a future major stakes player, and I'm going to give a good, strong look to Turtle Tracks, knowing that Finite is the horse to beat in the Golden Run.
All right, Darren Rogers, nobody better. He is going to receive a gift, like all of our guests, from Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Darren, appreciate it, my friend, and I love to do this to you before I let you go every year. 154 days, 4 hours, 29 minutes, and 58 seconds until the Run for the Roses. So get to work.
Here, here, we're ready. Hey, happy holidays to you and the team and all your listeners out there. Have a great holiday season, and we'll see you at the Downs not too long.
Yeah, very soon. Thanks, buddy. Happy holidays to you as well. Darren Rogers here on HRRN. Going to get to a break. Julian Leperoux is in the on-deck circle. Stay with me. It's the Equine Forum on HRRN, all presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Stallion owners, there is still time to donate. The Iowa Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Stallion Auction is the only auction that the stallion owner can receive up to $15,000 by donating one season. ITBOA has paid out $105,000 so far to stallion owners and farms, such as Adena Springs, Darley, Hillendale, Pin Oak, and many others. The only stallion auction where you could receive up to $15,000. December 7th to the 16th. Visit iowathoroughbred.com.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
French Kiss on the far outside, and Pure Clan looking to get involved as they turn for home off the turn. CJ Lilly still in neck in front. Mora County now. The whip comes out of her. Here comes Pure Clan on the outside, and Sunday Holiday. Pure Clan, Sunday Holiday, but it's still CJ Lilly tough in the lead. CJ Lilly confronted by Pure Clan. Pure Clan and Julia LaPerrue in the front. Pure Clan winning the Golden Rod, going away. CJ Wheely turn away in Sunday Holiday in 143-2.
Welcome back, Mike Penna in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios here on the Equine Forum. That was Luke Kreipbosch, the late Luke Kreipbosch, with the call of the Golden Rod in 2007, the first of four victories in the race for jockey Julian Leperoux. What a moment it was for him, and always great to have my late friend Luke and his voice on the program here and think back on some of his memorable calls. He was so, so good at what he did, and I'm sure Julian Leperoux would agree with that, and he is my guest now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Julian, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good, good. How's everything? Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
Pure Clan giving you the first win in the Goldenrod, your first win in the Goldenrod, the first of four. Mm-hmm. What a day that was for you, my friend. Pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a great day. I think I won the Kentucky Jockey Club, too, that day. So it was a great day, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you did. I was going to say that next, but I figured maybe I'll let you brag on yourself. I was going to brag on you if you didn't do it. Yeah, pretty special day in 2007. And then you came back a couple of years later, 2010, with Kathman Blue for Ken McPeak and won the race again. What do you remember about that day?
Same thing. I mean, you know, there was, you know, first of all, the three-year-old day like this at Churchill, it's always a fun day. You know, it's the future for the next year. So it's, I think, very important if you can win a couple races that day. And, you know, when you win the Golden Rod and Kentucky Jockey Club, you makes you excited for the next year, for sure.
Yeah, very much so. And then 2015, it was Karina Mia for Bill Mott. Mm-hmm. And then in 2017, Road to Victory for Mark Cassie. Why do you think you've been able to have so much success in a race like the Goldenrod?
Mainly the horses, you know, I rode all those races, good horses, good fillies. I came back the next year and did good. So that's the main thing. You got to get good horses to be able to win those races, for sure. So, you know, thanks for the trainers and owners that put me on those good horses.
Yeah, you know, when you talked about winning the Kentucky Jockey Club, in addition to the Goldenrod in 2007, I went back and looked, and it was, well, you'll know, it was for Nick Zito, and Anak Nikal was the name of the horse, and I had forgotten about that horse until I just looked it up.
Yes. I mean, he came back and ran very good in the Belmont, too. I think those races, Churchill, are always good for the 3 years old after that. You know, they always come back and do good.
You know, quite often I'll talk to jockeys and they'll talk about, and you and I may have had this conversation at some point too, about, you know, really trying to jockey for position in terms of getting on the right Derby horse and the right horse mm-hmm. for the Kentucky Oaks. Is it, we're still 150 plus days away from the Kentucky Derby. Is it too early to start kind of getting yourself in position with some good horses?
No. I mean, that's it always started quite a bit a couple months ago already. You know, obviously we try to find good two-year-old for, you know, for Breeders' Cup and for the end of the year for the Jockey Club and the races in New York. So no, it's not too early. You need to try to find those two-year-olds that hopefully can develop and be a very good 3 years old next year. So you know, one step at a time, though. You know, you gotta wait and see. But you know, it's already started for sure. Yeah.
How does that process work, Julian? Obviously, you're trying to ride as many good 2 year olds as you can this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
Once you determine the ones that you really like, because you know better than anybody what you're feeling underneath you. How does the process work in terms of working with your agent, working with the trainers to make sure that you're the guy that's going to be on those horses moving forward?
Yeah, well, it's obviously my agent is working at trying to find the two-year-old, you know, working in the morning for me and you know, riding them in the races. Then you try to pick the one that that you think are the best ones. You know, it's a little bit of luck too sometimes, where you know, some you get on those 2 year old and you never walk them, or you don't really know, just a trainer that tells you, you know, I think this one is it's a nice one, and you get on and hopefully they're right, you know. It's an everyday thing, and hopefully you're the lucky one to get the nice ones.
Can you know pretty much right away when you're on them, maybe the first race or the second race that you ride them, if they have what it takes to be successful at, say, a mile and a quarter on the first Saturday in May? Can you know that quickly?
Yes. I mean, it's a tough question. I mean, you know right away if the horse is talented, if he's got talent. You try to stay with him for sure. You know, now thinking about Derby Mile and a Quarter, it's a lot of things that need to happen between, you know, the transition between 2 and 3. That's the main thing. So, you know, I think when you start riding them at 3, you can feel where when they get better or not. You know, sometimes you get very good 2-year-olds that, you know, doesn't do very good at 3. So, and sometimes you get 2-year-olds that did okay at 2 but do very good at 3. So it's something we're gonna find out a little bit more this winter, I guess.
Yeah, no,
February, March.
No doubt about it. Talking with jockey Julian Leperoux here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Let's talk about the horses you're riding in the stakes races later today with the Goldenrod and Turtle Tracks for Ian Wilkes, and then you come back later on with another very talented horse in the Kentucky Jockey Club. We'll get to that race. But Turtle Tracks is a filly by Cairo Prince, who has really been good in her last couple starts. You've won both of those races aboard her. Tell me about her.
Well, that's a filly that Ian really liked. I walked her one time before the first time I rode her, and she walked very good. You know, so far for me, she's done everything good. She's got a lot of talent. Now she's obviously stepping up in a company, but she should run good. First time going to town, so obviously that's still the question, but I think she's going to handle it, and we'll go from there, I guess.
Yeah, as the person who is at the controls when they break from the gate, what is your, I guess, how do you make sure that going two turns for the first time, she has enough left in the tank to finish the way she's been finishing, going 6.5 furlongs?
Well, I mean, I think you, with a 2-year-old like this, you just hope for a good clean break, and hopefully she get to a good rhythm. And that's a key, I think. You know, I mean, wherever she is in the race, she's got a good rhythm. She should be finishing for sure.
One thing I love about Ian's young horses, a lot of times you'll see these young horses and they just blast off from the start, and it's just all about who's, you know, quickest from gate to wire. Mm-hmm. But Ian does a beautiful job, much like his mentor Carl Nasker, of developing these horses to sit and relax and to finish. Mm-hmm. And Turtle Tracks has been ultra professional those two times that you've been aboard.
Yeah, I mean, the first time she was laying close to the pace, and last time she was coming from off of it. So, yeah, she's pretty handy. And I think, like you said, Ian, you know, usually they get better with time. So hopefully she gets better, you know, for that race today, and also for the winter, for next year, you know.
Well, the horse in the Kentucky Jockey Club that's going to take a lot of the money and get a lot of the headlines is the morning line favorite, Tis the Law. Tis the Law is going to break from post 3. You're going to be in post 4 with South Bend, the second choice. Mm-hmm. And South Bend, much like Tis the Law, undefeated, a perfect 3-for-3. All three of those wins coming with you aboard.
Yeah, it's a nice 2-year-old too. I think he's gonna like the added distance, the two turns. You know, like you said, he hasn't done anything wrong yet. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting race. And now we like our chances for sure. We got a good post. Now we got to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, another horse that can lay back and finish strongly.
Mm-hmm.
How would you, if somebody asks you to describe Julian Leperoux's riding style, right? How do you put that into words? How do you describe the way you approach riding races?
I mean, I just try to ride the horses like they want to. You know, try to not really rush them, but if they have speed, you know, leave them on a lead. So I don't know. It's just a feeling. I try to ride them the best I can, for sure. Yeah.
What do you mean? What does it mean when we hear the jockey is a strong finisher?
Well, I mean, you're as strong as your horse is, you know. I mean, it's a strong finisher, but whoever is the strongest, if your horse don't finish, you're not going to look that strong either. So, no, it's a question of depends on which horse you ride and strong finisher, I guess, if you get with them at the end and finishing very strong, I don't know.
Yeah,
tell me, Mike, what's your point on this?
Julien Leperoux. When I look up strong finisher, I see Julien Leperoux.
Yeah,
is that what I'm supposed
thanks.
To say? Yeah, no, look, I mean, you can finish as good as anybody, and you're as good as any jockey in the sport at getting a horse to relax and to settle into stride. Who's the toughest jockey to get past in the stretch if you're in a knockdown, drag-out battle? Who's the toughest jock?
I mean, there's a lot.
Yeah.
There are a lot of good jockeys there. I think one that I think is the strongest, probably Joey Rosario. You know, he does a lot love of riding and not just whipping them. So that's, I think I like that, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Julien Leperoux with me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Again, South Bend, his mount 9-5 on the morning line in the Kentucky Jockey Club. And earlier in the day, he'll be aboard Turtle Tracks for trainer Ian Wilkes. And as you heard him say, both horses coming along the right way, very professional, doing things the right way. Before I let you go, Julien, I have to thank you publicly. I don't know if I've done this yet, but you were kind enough. We dressed you up in some black and gold HRN silks at this year's Kentucky Derby for one of the undercard races. And I said, heck, we should do it again for the Goldenrod and the Kentucky Jockey Club. But then I remembered that you didn't win that race. You actually finished last. So I didn't want to jinx you again. So I apologize for that. I think it had everything to do with the silks.
No, no problem. Anytime, Mike. Anytime.
You're the best. Julien Leperoux here on HRN. Julien, as always, appreciate the visit. We'll send you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. And good luck today. And look, safe trip every time you get a leg up, my friend.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. Have a good day, guys.
Julien Leperoux here on HRN. I said the silks. Well, the horse that he rode was in the Humana Distaff. It was Talk Vouv to me. She ended up finishing dead last that day, and Julien looked great. He had the HRN logo on his pants, the HRN logo on his shirt right up at the collar, and it was the Team Valor silks, and not meant to be for Talk Vouv to me. And I told him, as you just heard me say, I don't want to jinx him again, so I did not approach him. But maybe at some point we'll try that experiment one more time, and if he finishes last again, he may never talk to me. But we'll see if we can work it out for Julien coming up at a future date. Going to get to one final break. Well, not one final break, but one more break. And then we'll turn our attention southward to Gulfstream Park and the championship meet with Mike Lakow, who is the vice president of racing operations at Gulfstream Park. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Castleton Lions is proud to introduce precocious multiple graded stakes winner Protonico for the 2019 breeding season. A Son of Giants Causeway out of an AP Indy mare, Protonico rolled to a 12 3/4 length victory in his debut as a 2-year-old before taking the Grade 3 Smarty Jones and Grade 3 Discovery Handicap at 3, followed by an ultra game win in the Grade 2 Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs in his 4-year-old season. Protonico joins the Castleton Lions stallion roster that includes multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and Blue Blood sprinter Justin Phillip. Gio Ponti is the sire of Eclipse champion Dre Fong, Canadian Classic winner Sir Dudley Diggs, and stakes winners Miss Technicality and America's Tale. While Justin Phillip is represented by exciting stakes-winning filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. Protonico, Gio Ponti, and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions.
Flatter. This prolific son of AP Indy has sired 6 millionaires, including Eclipse champion West Coast. This year, he's adding even more stakes winners to his outstanding record, including Sovereign Award winner Avies Flatter. His yearlings have topped the Phasic Tipton July sale 2 years in a row and sold up to $900,000 at Keeneland September. Success on the track, success in the ring. Flatter, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Adina Spring Stallion, Ghost Zapper. The consistently brilliant sire of 11% black type winners, including Breeders' Cup champion and Eclipse champion female sprinter, Judy the Beauty.
Judy the Beauty! Judy the Beauty! One and a head and eight thriller!
Santa Anita handicap winner, Shaman Ghost.
Shaman Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile.
And Whitney handicap hero, Moreno.
100 yards from home, and it's Moreno! Moreno to win the Whitney in a wire-to-wire score!
In 2019, Ghost Zapper is the sire of double-digit stakes winners for the seventh straight year, and his current stars include Del Mar Futurity winner Nucky and three-year-old Philly sensation Guarana.
On to another impressive outing here. Guarana 2 for 2, and she's an Acorn winner.
Guarana has won the Coaching Club American Oaks Over Point of Honor.
Consistently brilliant, Ghost Zapper, standing at Adina Springs. Visit adinastallions.com.
This is jockey Julian Lepau, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Canaveras into fifth, but still a long way off the lead, and the lead is now held by Always Dreaming. Always Dreaming set down for the drive by John Velasquez, and he's moving away. State of Honor is up into second, an impressive edge. Canavera too little, too late, but inside the 16th pole, the 2017 Florida Derby to Todd Pletcher, and Always Dreaming, they won it by 4 in the end. Second, State of Honor, Canavera got running for third, got close after that between Impressive Edge and Three Rules, followed in by Talk Logistics, Coleman Rocky on Bridled Holiday, Charlie the Greek, and Keeney Entos.
Travis Stone with the call of, or Pete Aiello, Travis Stone, Pete Aiello with the call of the 2017 Florida Derby, and Always Dreaming getting the victory that day. The last horse to come out of that race and win the Kentucky Derby, but the Florida Derby has produced more Derby winners than any prep race in the history of the sport. And I know that's welcome news to our next guest, who is Mike Lakow, the Vice President of Racing Operations at Gulfstream Park. And Mike, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving to you and to your family.
You too, Mike.
Man, what an honor to be down there at Gulfstream Park getting ready to embark upon the 2019-2020 championship meet. It has to be very special for you in your first year down there.
It really is. I'm so fortunate to have this opportunity. My home is in Florida, and I've been working in New York for half a year, and it's nice to be back home. And actually, Gulfstream, it was one of the first racetracks I've worked at before when I got into the industry, and I just love it down here. And, you know, to get the new horsemen coming in for the championship meet is just, for me, it's terrific.
You know, it's amazing. As I was getting ready for the interview, I was thinking back to 2007 and the year that we first broadcast the Belmont Stakes nationally here on the network, when we were first launching everything and just getting started. It was a big moment for us. And I remember going into your office I guess it was Belmont Park, going into your office and sitting down with you to do an interview. And who would have thought that sitting here 12 years later, almost 13 years later, we'd be doing an interview talking about Gulfstream Park. Pretty cool.
Yeah, especially since I've done so many different things in between.
Yeah.
But it's good to get back to racing and to get back home and to be a racetrack that has so many stake races and is such a great opportunity for horsemen, owners to stay in one place and to have a life, basically.
Is it easier to do your job when you have a meet like the championship meet and there's so many great horses, so many great horsemen, so many great races? Or does it, in some ways, maybe even make it more challenging for you?
Well, Gulfstream is different than Saratoga. I mean, Saratoga, you're under a microscope. There's no bottom. I mean, basically, it's pretty much solid horses. Well, here we have a great bunch of claiming horses that support the program throughout the year. And the fans like those races. The wagering is huge. And then we throw in this mix of basically world-class horses coming in. You never know. Down at Gulfstream, if a horse wins a maiden race, three-year-old maiden race, that could be really the next superstar. And that's fun to watch.
Yeah, you never know where the next Derby winner is going to come from. And I was talking with Darren Rogers a little bit ago, in the second half of the program, talking about the Derby future wagers. And, you know, the horses that are in the body of the field now are the horses that we know. But there's a lot of two-year-olds out there that are just going to be starting over the next several weeks, next month or so at Gulfstream, that we're going to hear about for the first time. And you could very easily be watching the Kentucky Derby winner in one of those maiden races making his debut.
Oh, absolutely. And again, you know, Todd hasn't run all his horses, Chad, you know, the list goes on and on, Mott. And it's exciting. It's an exciting spot.
What are you looking forward to most with this championship meet?
Well, personally.
Yeah.
A quick story. I was home last night, Thanksgiving. I got a text from a jockey agent. Extra two, can you add on this clause so my horse is eligible? What I says, talk to Dave Bailey, who we just hired as the racing secretary. And that was the best part of me accepting this job. So, you know, writing a condition book is stressful for me. Some guys can whip right through it, and they think they have a great product. I questioned every line I wrote in the book. So it's nice to be able to release that and start something different. And with my position, I'm not just racing. I'm doing quite a bit of budgeting and track and just a lot of different things that keep me busy. And I enjoy that. I like staying busy.
Yeah, and let's clarify that for people. You served as the racing secretary at multiple racetracks over the years, and you talked about the different roles you've had in the industry. And now down at Gulfstream, you're the vice president of racing operations. You don't have to worry about writing the condition books and necessarily adding extras and all those kinds of things that horsemen will constantly ask you to do. So from your position, just want to clarify that for people. It's a little bit different than your usual roles.
Absolutely. And again, you know, a couple years ago, I had Javier Castellano's book, and that's a totally different part of the industry, jocks agents. And jocks agents, you know, they're just, you have to be on the ball, and you have to see into the future. And it's for me, again, I'm saying everything is stressful. That was serious stuff. That was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Really?
And Javier did well, and I we're still friends. He did fire me, but that's okay. actually, he saved my life, I think. It was too much for me to do. You know, jocks agents are the backbone of racing, some people say. At least the jocks agents say that anyway.
Yeah, they'll tell you that day in and day out. You know, I interviewed Julien Leperrew, was with me in the last segment, and I asked him about, you know, looking for that Kentucky Derby horse or the Kentucky Oaks horse and trying to get on him and feel which horse you might want to ride on the first Saturday in May and doing it now. And is it too early to start doing that? And then I talked to him about the process that goes on with a jocks agent, with a jockey, with the horseman, the trainer. How does it all come together? And you can speak to it from the other side of things. As the jockey agent, there is a lot of politicking going on right now in the game, isn't there?
Oh, yes. It's politicking. It's juggling. And you can't make a mistake because there's a lot of sharks out there just waiting for a chance to jump right in.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Mike Lakow with me here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, let's talk about some of the big races coming up at the championship meet. I mentioned that this is opening weekend. Next weekend, you'll have the Claiming Crown. You've got the $16 million Pegasus World Cup Championship Invitational, which is January 25th, and then the $1 million ExpressBet.com Florida Derby on March 28th. But in between all of that, there is a lot of action going on, too.
Yeah, every Saturday is full of stakes, half of them graded. And, you know, we have so many nominations to the Claiming Crown. And don't forget, we have the Caribbean Classic next Sunday, the day after the Claiming Crown. And from what I'm told, it's a very exciting day of racing here. And I haven't experienced it, but attendance is massive, and everybody's cheering for their countries. And everybody seems to love that day as much as any of the other big days. So, besides those days you have, of course, the Holy Bull and the Fountain of Youth and a lot of preps to the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, those are always fun, and you start to see the stars, potential stars, emerge in those races. And I mentioned coming out of the commercial break that the Florida Derby has been like the number one Kentucky Derby prep race in terms of producing the winner of the Kentucky Derby. And that has to make you very proud when you start talking to horsemen about coming there to run their three-year-olds, two-year-olds or three-year-olds at Gulfstream Park.
Yeah, I mean, it's a place to be. You don't have to worry about the weather. I mean, sure, it's going to rain, but you don't have to worry about any other issues. And the track is good. As a matter of fact, our track superintendent, Tony Martinez, has done a fantastic job, and I give him a lot of credit. We didn't have any catastrophic injuries at the recent Gulfstream Park West meet, and the horsemen like him. And they respect them, which is so important in this industry.
Yeah, it's huge. And to have somebody like that in place that knows the surface and knows the horsemen, they kind of go hand in hand, and that, you know, all kind of works together. And I'm so glad to hear that. You know, you kind of come back to a point that I was making earlier about our poll question today was, if you were buying a gift to give to the thoroughbred industry this year, what gift would it be? And people are voting at HRN or weighing in on that poll question. I said I would give the sport a unified voice so that when things that are not good, things that are bad happen, we stand up as a unified voice as an industry and we say, hey, wait a minute, there are a lot of good things going on in this sport. And one of them is the point you just brought up about no catastrophic injuries at the Gulfstream Park West meet. I think that needs to be brought to light.
Yes. And you know, look, nobody wants that to happen. And we're doing our best. Every racing jurisdiction is looking after the horses, the jockeys, as well as the betting fans. I mean, we need to have a product that the horsemen like and the fans like, and it's safe. And we're moving in that direction. I mean, I really don't believe it's something that's got away from us. On the contrary, as a matter of fact, I was talking to a trainer the other during Saratoga. Good trainer. I don't want to say his name, but top Midwest trainer. He said, "Mike, you know, I take care of my horses. I have a farm. When they're done, I retire them. They're on the farm. But you know, they get hit by lightning. They step on something. They run to a fence." He said that the rate of issues is as high, if not higher, on a farm where they're doing what they're supposed to be doing besides racing. They're grazing and having fun and being with their buddies. And he said, you know, so it's really those numbers. You know, we can't focus on all the negatives.
No. And I think people in the industry know that because we're in it and we live it and we're part of it every single day. The issue comes where, you know, people that are outside of the sport that could care less about horse racing until they see something about, you know, a catastrophic injury on the nightly news, and all of a sudden they say, wait a minute, horse racing's bad. That's where I say as an industry we need to step forward and say, wait a minute here, hold on. That's one little piece of the puzzle. It's a piece that none of us like to have out there, but there are a lot of good things going on too. And as you just pointed out, things can happen anywhere, and we just need to let people know about all the great things that are going on. So that's why I chose that gift for the sport here this year. How about in terms of the Pegasus World Cup, any updates on which horses we might see pointing that direction, or is it still a little early?
It's early. I mean, even, you know, stake races are closed 2 weeks ahead. You really don't know who's running. It's just, you know, decisions are changed so many different times. But I do know that Jason Service was planning on running his horse in it, and certainly Mandela Omaha Beach is planning on running. But we have a list. We have to watch how the Clark runs today and the Cigar Mile next week, and then we'll get an idea. The Discovery. You know, there's a lot of races still to be run before they will choose to run point towards the Pegasus.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Mike Lakow here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, before I let you go, just kind of give people an overview of what they can expect when they come to Gulfstream Park at any point during the championship meet.
Well, I'll tell you, Mike, they've done so many improvements, upgrades. There's a new infield board that is supposed to be state-of-the-art, LEDs throughout the facility, new dining options, almost $20 million in improvements. And again, we're going to have the top horses in the country, the top trainers in the country, and the top jockeys in the country. So it's definitely the place to be focused on for racing.
Well, Mike, congratulations on the new position. Look forward to seeing you when we get down there. We'll be there several times this meet to provide that live coverage of the races. And appreciate the visit here this morning, my friend.
Okay, thank you. Anytime.
All right, Mike Lako, Vice President of Racing Operations at Gulfstream Park here on HRRN. We'll get to one final break. I'll come back and tell you what's ahead. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Multiple Grade 1 winning millionaire, World of Trouble.
World of Trouble and Manny Franco win the Jiper.
World of Trouble takes the Carter.
One of the fastest horses of his generation, the son of Cantharos captured both the Grade 1 Carter on dirt and Grade 1 Jiper on turf this year and would go on to record 100-plus buyer speed figures in his last seven starts, including a 118 buyer as a three-year-old, the highest three-year-old buyer speed figure of 2018. World of Trouble, standing at Hillendale.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Racing at Gulfstream.
Come out to Gulfstream Park for the kickoff of the championship meet. Enjoy the heart-pounding excitement of live thoroughbred horse racing showcasing some of the best jockeys and horses in the world. Be one of the first to experience the all-new outdoor dining terraces or have brunch while viewing the racing at 10 Palms. Make sure to come early to get your free 2020 Gulfstream Park wall calendar while supplies last. Visit GulfstreamPark.com for details and a full schedule.
Shadwell Farm, home to world-class stallions, presents two young stars. Mohaman, undefeated two-year-old, multiple graded stakes winner at 2 and 3. A dazzling son of Tappet, winner of his first 5 career starts, 4 in graded stakes. Grade 1 winner, Tamer Coos, winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. This son of Spitestown was a top international miler that earned over $1.8 million. Shadwell Farm, building speed for the future.
Power.
Tappert is still there. Master Plan is gaining. Master Plan at Tappert. Tappert still in front. Master Plan too late. Tappert will do it.
Passion.
It's Tappert. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home 4 lengths to the good.
Performance.
Tappert has taken the lead. Tappert and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Tappert and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway stallion Tappert, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Tappert set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best bred sons of Tappert ever to enter stud. Out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple graded stakes producer, Appealing Zofie. Tappert, standing for $12,500 at Gainsway.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Well, don't forget there is no better way to follow racing, breeding, industry news, and more than with Bloodhorse. There are so many platforms in which they bring it to you, including Bloodhorse.com. It's the thoroughbred industry's go-to site, and the Bloodhorse Daily app, which is updated throughout the day with news, race results, and more. Or you can have the Bloodhorse delivered daily to your email. All you have to do is go to Bloodhorse.com/daily to learn more. My thanks to all of our guests for making this show possible, including Steve Asmussen, the Hall of Famer, who was with me in the first half of the show. Barkley Tagg was here, Darren Rogers from Churchill, Julian Leperu, and you just heard Mike Lakow just a few moments ago. And a quick little sidebar on that interview with Mike, recording with Mike on Friday, so you heard him reference Thanksgiving being last night and having to see who wins the Clark Handicap today, of course, meaning Friday, but... looking ahead to that championship meet, which should be outstanding, opening weekend of Gulfstream's 2019-2020 championship meet. Don't forget, if you missed any portion of the show, head to our website. That's horseracingradio.net. You can check out the podcast at your leisure. You can also do that, Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. Now for my producer, Lee Delapina, in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios. For Chauncey, Sean C., handling our social media, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next time here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Thanks for listening, and yeah, go Steelers.